Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So, we're doing something a little bit different tonight, or maybe not so different, because we've been doing this sort of style at church the last couple of months, the last month. But we are going to do a little panel with some of our very amazing frontline leaders. And so, I'm just going to hand over to them to introduce themselves before we get started. Take it away, Tegan.
Hi, I'm Tegan. Hi. I've been a youth leader for about, this is my third year now. I'm 21. I'm in my last year of studying music performance at uni, and I love it.
I'm Amy, and I've been a youth leader for 2 days. Woo!
Yeah.
I'm 19, and I'm in my first year at uni doing arts and teaching.
Yay, Amy.
I'm Tom. This is my second year being a frontline leader. I'm 19 and I'm doing a Bachelor of Computer Science at RMIT.
And Tom, your family won the first trivia night. How much did you have to do with that win?
I was a participating member.
Yeah, like what? Like 50% of the winning?
My siblings wouldn't agree if I was to give an answer.
Okay, all right, we'll just... But so are you like hoping to win next Sunday night?
Pelagies are pretty competitive, so I think I'm...
Okay, so berries, bales, great, looking forward to it. Great, so this term, as you might have seen from the video, we focused on legacy and the part that we get to play on earth for the short time that we have to be disciples, to be a witness and in God's kingdom. And so tonight I'm going to ask these three wonderful people just a few questions about legacy and about what it means to be used by God in this world. And so first up, and I'll start with you, Tom, maybe. What does, and we've got some questions actually, don't we, Anna? We can pop them on the screen. What does leaving your legacy look like? Let's start with you, Tom. Tell us what that means.
I think in the simplest way, it's leaving an impact on the world after you're gone.
Yes.
When I saw this question, I immediately thought of Hamilton lyrics. Does anyone know Hamilton? Like, all over buses at the moment. Anyway, and there's a line and it says, legacy, what is a legacy? It's planting seeds in a garden we never get to see, which is my favourite line. So, yeah, that's what I think legacy is.
Planting seeds in a garden that we don't get to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. What about you, Tegan?
I don't know how I can come after that. That was so good. I really think it's like leaving something precious or significant after you're gone, whether that's like gone or just like left from a place. And it's really something that you leave that leaves an impact, and that can actually be negative or positive, I think.
So do you guys have any examples of people that you think of when you think of legacy, Tom?
When I thought of legacy, I thought of Billy Graham, just in the way that he could fill a stadium with people who wanted to hear about God. I just like... still to this day, like, he's well known because of that.
Yeah.
I immediately think of Hal Oxley and the way that he's just been an amazing example to this church, and yeah, he'll be remembered for a very, very, very long time, which, yeah, that's a legacy.
Yeah. And so we didn't actually practice this question out the back, but I thought of it just before. What legacy do you hope to leave as leaders? I know it's quite deep and on the spot, so sorry for doing that. Maybe you can think about it and I'll ask it again at the end.
Yeah,
yeah, let's do that. So let's go to a passage in Matthew, and I believe we've got it on the screen. I'm just going to read it. And this is Jesus talking. And he says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I've gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I've gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them and thrown that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, just as we reflect on, and there's a lot in that passage, what are some of the things that the enemy might use to try and steer us away from what we have? And I guess think about the servant that hid his bag of gold and why he did that. Maybe Tegan, we'll start with you.
Sure. Yeah, so often when we have to use our gifts, I really feel like we need faith and we just need to trust in God in order for him to use our gifts and grow them. And the fact that we actually need to step out in faith can be scary, and I really think that's something that the enemy likes to use to make us doubt ourselves. Like, we can't see a clear path ahead for how God can use us or even why, but what we can see really clearly sometimes are like false evidence for us to not step out in faith. Like, I think of that verse, Proverbs 3, verse 5, when it says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I really think the enemy can use our own understanding sometimes to skew it and twist it and make us doubt ourselves. Like, he'll point out something that seems like evidence or like a decent enough reason for us to not step out, or a false fact that our gift might not work out, whether it's like we're not good enough or we can't see how this is going to work out in a good way. But the antidote to that really is just what it says in Proverbs, is just to trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. And that really just goes over any doubt the enemy will throw at us.
Yeah.
I think that also kind of ties in with the fear of the unknown. Sometimes we can sit back from using what we've been given because we don't know whether it could be a good outcome or a bad outcome. And because we're scared of the bad outcome, we just preserve it.
Yeah.
But like, it's okay to make mistakes. Like, we're humans and we learn from those mistakes, and everyone's going to make mistakes, and it's a really beautiful thing actually. Because in those mistakes is when you can feel the redemption and grace of God. So without that, you know, if you're a perfect person, you'll feel like you don't need God. And so it's a really beautiful thing to feel that.
Every person is different. And, like, comparing yourself to, like, the servant who got that one gold piece, like, he's next to the people who've got three and five. And he might be, like, looking at them and, like, completely have no idea what to do with what he's got compared to what they've got, and just completely scared of what, like, the master might think of him if he doesn't do what the people with the five and three have. But I think it's important to, like, God sees us all individually. And the master gave that servant one. And so what he had to do was with that one. And that's what he needed to focus on.
And I think that's such a easy trap that, like, I know I've fallen into in the past, and I think a lot of us do, is when we compare ourselves. And I think the enemy really does try to sway us into, well, not sway us, but try to get us to compare ourselves. And often that can be a real, it can really lead us to be fearful of stepping out. So we need to be really aware of that. So, next question. Throughout this passage, the master talked of the two servants that did invest their gold, and he talked about them being good and faithful servants. That's how he referred to them. So, what does it mean to be a good and faithful servant, do you think? Tom, let's start with you.
I think good, just to split it up, good is, God is good. I was talking to Josh about this yesterday. God is good, good is God. Good is what God wants, good is what God is. And so once you know like what God wants from you, being faithful is being obedient to that and living that out in your life.
Of that question, I think this verse kind of speaks for itself. 1 Peter 4:10, that each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Self-explanatory.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like really tying in, I think, with a perspective that we have on our gifts and like a perspective or a position that we take in life in regards to our purpose, why we're living our life, and what are we living our life for. And I think it really ties in with what Amy was saying before about making mistakes and how that's really okay. Because I don't think that this verse really emphasizes the outcomes of our gifts more from the point of view of we can't control the outcomes of what we do. That's in God's hands. Like, that's up to God. But it's our perspective and it's our position to continually turn to Him and have a posture of commitment to keep pursuing God and turning to Him to grow us and shape us and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. Like, that's when godly legacies are really left behind.
And I think ultimately, like really simply, it's just being obedient to God as well. And when He asks us to do something, regardless of how we might feel or what we're thinking or our own understanding of things, that we are obedient and faithful to say yes, no matter what. So next question, verse 14 talks about the master entrusting his wealth to his servants. So what do you think that tells us about our giftings, and what important role does perspective hold in the legacy that we leave? Tegan, what do you think on that one?
I think it's a really profound notion. Like, I think it's really powerful. I think we should really have a healthy self-esteem and sense of self and be proud of our giftings, but always with a knowledge that it's God who created those giftings and gave them to us in the first place. Like, we can take a really healthy and godly pride in our giftings, because whenever we use them, it's always pointing back to the Father and it's always glorifying Him, which really in turn I think brings a lot of validation and belonging and purpose to us as human beings, because it just feels right to use our giftings with the knowledge that they're not solely ours, but God's. It's really outworking our created purpose, and so it brings us a lot of joy and peace in that, I think.
What about you, Tom?
That covers a whole bunch of what I was thinking, but just what legacy that we leave. Like, that is God. Like, God should be our legacy. Like, when we leave a legacy, whether it be throughout our gifts and talents that we have received from God, they should shine straight back to God, and people should be able to see that the gift that we got, that leads straight back to God.
Yeah. In terms of, like, the second half of that perspective, we live in the generation of the selfie generation. Everything's about self and glorifying self. And all over social media at the moment is like, main character energy. It's just like so toxic. I don't know. But it's just, it's so important to be like, it isn't less to take self off the throne when you're glorifying God. It's so much more. Because you're honouring, like, the creator of everything. You're honouring God. Like, that is so much more of a privilege than putting yourself on the throne and having that main character energy. So, yeah.
Yes, that is so true, Amy. Well done for really zoning in on that. So let's just hear a bit of personal stuff from you guys now. So I think that regardless of who we are and our journey and the gifts and talents that God gives us, it can be really easy to doubt our own gifts and talents and our own ability to be used by God. So has anyone had that experience of where you have had doubt over your giftings and being used by God? And if so, how have you overcome that? Go, Amy. Oh, go, Tom, sorry.
I'll go. My whole life I've just been, you know, extremely introverted and just not great at public speaking and that sort of thing. So when I was going to thinking about becoming a leader, like at the end of 2020. I was just a little bit scared, a little bit unsure of how God could use me in that position. And like, as you see, like apparently leaders, like they're just incredible people. And the effect that they had on me was profound. And I was unsure if I could have that effect on other people. But what in the last year of what I've been in a group with the boys is that there are all kinds of people, and some people don't react to like the
really loud people,
really loud, yeah, like leaders and things. And so I thought, like, and what I've seen in the last year is that I can relate to maybe some of the people who don't relate to that, and who go don't play basketball or are off to the side, and that gave me comfort.
I think that's so true, and I think that it can be really easy to look at people who are extroverted and loud and think that, or whatever it is, and think that there's one type of personality to be able to do something effective for God, and that's not true. And so I think that's a great example of realizing that God uses us all personality types as well, and giftings can be in all personality types, whether introvert or extrovert as well. What about you girls? Have you got any examples?
I feel like at the time I didn't recognize this, but thinking about it, starting on the worship team, I was like 13, and I was like, I'm little, like, I mean, I'm still the same height, but anyway. So 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in conduct, love, in faith, and speech," which is such an encouragement. So I think the moment I realized, like, you know, being reassured with a gift that I believe is from God, and just being really firm in my identity to know its power and calling, it's not about me, it's about how my gift can impact and how I can hopefully leave a legacy. And knowing that I don't have to be unsure about it, because John 15:16 says that Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give to you."
And so tell me, Amy, like, if you felt like a bit unsure when you were so young,
yeah,
can you pinpoint when you actually then had that, like, realization? Like, was it a few years later, or you started having confidence in God and what God had put in you?
Yeah. As time went on, it was just having people be like, "So, like, why are you doing this?" and being thinking about it and realizing that, you know, it was wanting to do it for God and it wasn't about me. And yeah, having encouragement from people that I looked up to that had godly input into me.
Yeah.
And taking it completely off of me, and just being encouraged that it is a gift and that to use it and to not hide it. And,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. A good answer. Yeah, really good. What about you, Tegan?
So I, as a job, work as a music teacher, teaching like 6-year-olds to 12-year-olds. And you'll always know where you're at with a 6-year-old or 12-year-old, because that's how you exactly what you think. So I really think I do have a gift of teaching and making people feel good about themselves. That's why I love doing teaching. But there's been so many times, and I've doubted that, when I've placed the worthiness or placed the status of that gift on how my students react to my teaching or to me. Like, there's been so many times when I've had a really great lesson with a student and we've had breakthroughs, or they feel really great about themselves and they really want to practice when they get home. And then I ask them the next week, I'm like, "So how'd your practice go?" And they go, "Oh, I didn't practice. Oh, I didn't play at all." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, were you bored the whole time? Like, did you actually, like, not even engage at all?" And it's like, in reality, they're just a 10-year-old, and they think if they go to Kmart after school with their mum that they have no time for anything else. They've taken up their whole evening. So, like, then there's other times when I feel like I've gotten nowhere with a student, and it feels like I'm not actually very good at this and I'm doubting it completely. And then I might get home and a parent has texted me once saying, "Thank you so much. Like, the kids played this, or Sadie's played this song 10 times in a row. Thanks for a great lesson." So I think that I really learned through that if I base, like what I said before, the status of if I'm good enough for this on the reaction of another person or how I feel about it, I'm just going to get disappointed. But if I really place place my gift in God's hands, or remind myself of where the gifts come from in the first place. My identity of that is secure in God, and it's not going to be shaken. And even if there's times where I feel like I can doubt myself, I don't have to, because I know that I'm secure in God instead.
Yeah, and I think it's just remembering that we have a very limited perspective of what we see, and we don't necessarily always see the fruit that comes from the things that we sow, and trusting that God's perspective is bigger and he sees it. So second last question. Can we have that on the screen, please, Anna? Because I'm not sure on my own handwriting here. That's right. So we've talked a lot about gifts and talents and using the things that God has given us. And that's really important. But in 1 Peter 3:15, it says this: always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. And so regardless of the gifts and talents that we might have, we can leave a legacy in this world regardless of gifts and talents. And so when it comes to being a witness and being a light in our lost generation and in the culture that we live, like, how do we do that? And what's the importance of that? Tom, do you actually have a story about that?
I think the importance of this is just that you never know when you're going to have an opportunity to shine in someone else's life. Like, I was just, I think, year 11, year 10 or something, at the bus stop after school, and an international student just came up to me and just asked me, what is this God thing? Because he'd been in Oxley for a couple of weeks, and he didn't get it. And it wasn't that he wasn't sure, like, that he'd heard it and he was coming back or something. He just didn't know anything about it. And being the introverted, awkward person I was, I talked about things that I could at that point. But what that experience left me with was that you never know what's going to happen when. And so, it's really important to have an answer for people, because,
And did it take you by surprise when you got asked that question, what's this God thing all about?
Yeah, completely. I was just on my phone waiting for the bus.
And yet, you never know who's going to ask you. Be ready.
Yeah.
What about you girls?
Yeah, it might be the only opportunity that you have to touch their lives. So, it's really important to have something ready and prepared, and to really know and have that foundation. Like a little kind of like analogy. If you go to a store and they're like, oh, buy this product, like, it's so much more powerful if they're like, I've used this product, it's changed my life, hence they use it on the TV all the time. Which is, like, also how your testimony and how it's impacted you is so, like, use that. It's really, really powerful, and, just encourage you to tap into that and be ready to be vulnerable, because it's really powerful.
And so not just use head knowledge, but actually talk about your experience of God rather than just give facts and that sort of stuff. What about you, Tegan?
I think living with the awareness that we truly live in the in a world where people are lost is really powerful. I think coming out of high school, like in high school, I went to a private school. I didn't go to Oxley. I went to a different private school, but it's a little bit of a different environment to when you go out into the world after high school. Like, I know for me, walking around uni, people are trying to discover themselves and who they are. And I think this is the same for the workplace when you're older as well. People truly are lost, and people truly are searching and trying to find answers and trying to find love, acceptance and belonging, and are searching in the wrong places because they just don't know where to look. And I think if we live with a knowledge of that, it allows us to really spread the hope of Jesus and spread the truth of the gospel with so much more enthusiasm, because we know how it's really filled us with love, acceptance and belonging and with a hope. And people really see that within us and they grab onto that because it's just so inviting, and maybe they don't even know why it's so inviting, but it is. And, people see that and notice it.
Yeah. And so I think the key is that we should all be prepared. We should all have an answer prepared if we ever get stopped at a bus stop and asked about God. So last question, and this is my one that we didn't talk about that I've just sprung on you. So what we've talked about legacy, and I'm going to encourage all of us to think about this question as well. What kind of legacy do you hope to leave behind, whether that's in youth or whether that's with your students or with friends or family? What, and again, like I'm asking these guys, but I would encourage everyone to have a think about the kind of legacy that you want to leave behind for the people that you live around. And so, someone want to go first? Go Tegan.
I think for me, I really have a passion for helping people understand how Jesus sees them, like helping them really, really understand that they're created and they're precious and they're unique and they have a purpose and they're important. I think for me, I really value spending one-on-one time with people and having people understand that I see them and I love them for who they are and accept them because I want them to experience even just a tiny little fragment of how much Jesus and God loves them.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I feel like I would need longer to really pinpoint, but initially, straight away, I just think of, I don't know whether I'm doing this or not, but I would love to leave the legacy of just the joy of the Lord.
Yep.
Just simply
that. You're a pretty joyful person, aren't you, Amy?
Try to be.
Yeah, I think you are. What about you, Tom?
It's pretty similar to Tegan. I just think that that the legacy I want to leave is that every single person, like, is important to God, is loved by God. Like, no one is a copy-paste of someone else. No one's a copy-paste of their parents. No one's a copy-paste of a role model. Like, every single person God sees. And your relationship is directly with God. And I feel like my legacy, I would want to be that people know that, the people I talk to.
Yeah, awesome. Why don't we give our amazing leaders a round of applause? Thanks for sharing. We won't do a song. I'm just going to close and pray. And why don't we stand, actually? And I would just love for us to, and if you're comfortable, just close your eyes. And I would really love to pray. You know, we've talked about gifts and we've talked about talents and we've talked about leaving a legacy and being used by God. And so I would really encourage people. You might be here and you might actually know the gifts that God has given you and you might be really confident in how you're being used or how God is using you, but maybe you're not. And so I would just love to really pray that God would actually help to make those things alight and alive to you and actually show them in your life and actually open up the opportunities and show you how he wants to use you. And so if you're happy to just open up your hands, I'm just going to pray and ask that God would reveal some stuff tonight. Father, I thank you so much that you actually entrust us to be your light and to be you, Jesus, in this world, to be your disciples, to be a witness. And Father, I just thank you so much that you have given every single person gifts and talents. And Father, for those that don't actually know what those gifts and talents are, I really pray that even right now by your Holy Spirit that you would actually make them aware of the things that you have placed inside of them that are unique and individual. And Father, I thank you that you do use all sorts of people with all sorts of personalities from all backgrounds of life. There is no cookie cutter for how people can be used by you in your kingdom and to make a difference. And so Father, I really pray if there's anyone that is feeling confused or that feels even lost about God, I don't actually know how you want me to use me. I really pray that right now that you would make that really clear, that Father God, they would hear your voice and you would open up doors and opportunities for people. And Lord, we sung the song about laying our life down before you. Father, that is my prayer, and that's my prayer for everyone here tonight, that we would lay our life down before you, Father God, knowing that we are a vessel to be used in this world. And so, Father, I pray that we would go out of this place tonight being encouraged, being inspired, and being ready and prepared to be used by you in whatever situation that may be. And so, Father, we ask that your Spirit would go before us, and that, Father God, that you would just affirm in people right now, that your Holy Spirit would just whisper truth and affirmation and encouragement over us in Jesus' name. We pray these things and I thank you so much for Tegan, for Amy and for Tom and for just what they've shared tonight. Go before us this week, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Everyone said? Amen.
Being crucified with Christ means giving up anything and everything for him.
as that's what he did for us. We have to fully devote ourselves to him, 100% of ourselves. What I interpret as no longer living in this verse is no longer just being alive, but being life. Through Christ's love, we can be a light. We can be filled with his love and faithfulness. We are no longer wandering, searching for fulfillment, but we are satisfied and alive in Christ. This is because of God's love. Jesus dying was so that we can have a loving relationship with God, so that we are no longer living in fear or anguish, but in God's light. When it says, "The life that I now live in my body, I live by faith," it's saying that once we have been crucified with Christ, given ourselves to the Lord, and being obedient of everything he asks of us, we are living by faith. We choose to believe that God loves us and that his son died for us, even if we didn't witness it. I believe in God and what he asks of us, so we must be faithful in giving everything up, just like Jesus gave his life for us. So now, with your cracker and juice, just reflect on what Jesus did for us. Christ's eternal love. Remember the incredibly great sacrifice that he made, and open your heart to be obedient to the Lord so that you can live with life and be faithful to the Lord. Let's take communion. Lord, I just pray that we will remember the sacrifice you made for us and how much you love us. I pray that we can give ourselves to you, Lord, and open our hearts to accept you and be obedient. Lord, I pray that we will be filled with life and love so that we can live that out into the world and to others. In Jesus' name, amen.